Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39 tonight. I'd like to share a few devotional thoughts with you, looking into the life of Joseph. The theme that we'll look at in Joseph's life tonight is grace versus difficulties. Grace versus difficulties. About 25 years ago, 30 years ago, we were on mission trip to Mexico, and we had a married couple that came with us. And one of the days, we enjoyed just kind of an afternoon where we were able to visit some shops. Most of the time, we were out in rural areas where there was either very little running water and just a few houses. We had come into town and shopped around, and this couple decided to go into a grocery store, which was really about the size and look of a small gas station convenience store that we would use. And they were looking around. They were just trying to see what kind of foods they could find, and they found bananas. And we had been eating a lot of easy-to-pack food, which isn't always the most nutritious and most healthy when you're having to travel. And so he decided that he wanted some bananas. And he picked the bananas up, and as they were walking around the store, apparently he moved too far beyond where the storekeeper wanted him to be in her safety zone. And she just unleashed on him. And of course, he did not speak any Spanish, and so he couldn't understand what she was saying, and she spoke no English, and so she couldn't understand what he was saying. He couldn't understand what she was saying, and it began to escalate, and most of us standing around weren't able to converse or to help. The next thing you know, there's a police officer on the scene. And this poor fella is thinking that he's about ready to go to jail for a cluster of bananas. He was in a very difficult place. He was at a place where he needed grace. And fortunately, the missionary, his attention was caught by a little bit of a clamor, and he came over and was able to assure the storekeeper that this man was not a criminal, that he had no intent to steal her bananas, and she was able to de-escalate and send the police officer away, and he was able to walk away with his legally bought bananas and was able to enjoy them. And of course, for a month or two after that, we made sure that when he got home, he had a good supply of bananas. But isn't life like that sometimes, where we find ourselves in a place of difficulty and we're in need of God's grace? Sometimes we find ourselves in a place of difficulty because it's of our own doing. I mean, let's face it, probably every one of us can relate to the Apostle Peter. At some point, we have opened mouth and inserted foot, or we've done something foolish. And so we find ourselves sometimes in a place of difficulty because of our own doing, our own devices. And sometimes we find ourselves in a place of difficulty that is not of our doing. It's outside circumstances. Maybe someone has decided to make life difficult for us. Maybe something has happened that we just weren't expecting to happen. But we find ourselves in a place where we don't know what to do. And so we look at the life of Joseph. I would say that Joseph is one of those characters in the Bible that would be as close to a precursor or type of Christ as you could find. But Joseph was not a man who was without flaw. In fact, put your finger in chapter 39 there. Just look over at chapter 37, and I don't think that it's wrong for us to look this way at Joseph. But look at verse 5 there in chapter 37. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So this is Joseph when he was back at home. We know that Joseph was the favorite, right? He had the coat of many colors, and Jacob highly favored Joseph because he was the firstborn of his beloved Rachel. And Jacob wanted to do everything that he could to protect Joseph. And folks, Joseph was a teenager at this point. And, you know, sometimes things like that can go to the head of a teenager, especially when he's got older brothers, adult brothers. I don't know if you are at the top of the food chain in your family or at the bottom of the food chain, but I know how it went when we got left at home, and mom and dad would say someone else was in charge other than myself. That was always the worst, especially when you're the oldest. And it always would seem like a younger brother or sister would just hold it over your head, you know? And Joseph, I can see in that place, and the way that he handled the dreams and telling his family, I can see a little bit of teenage foolishness in this young man, and it inflamed his brothers. And so Joseph wasn't a perfect man, but he was a godly young man, and we'll see that as we look into his life. We know that as time passed, his brothers became so angry and jealous with him. What did they do? They plotted against him as they saw him coming, and they caught him and took his jacket off, and they threw him in a pit and originally planned to kill him. And then a band of Ishmaelites comes along, and a better idea comes. And so for the price of a slave, Joseph is sold and taken down to Egypt. His brothers go back to their father with a bloodied coat and allow him to assume that Joseph has been dead. And Joseph is in a mess. 17 years old. Can you imagine that? A 17-year-old going to Egypt, being in a place that is godless, being in a place that really he could do anything that he wanted. And so we know he's sold into Potiphar's house, and the Lord blesses him there. And we're always thankful for those times of blessing, but Potiphar's wife had cast her eyes on him. And what a wonderful display of Joseph's integrity as he refused temptation to the point that he even fled from the temptation, leaving his cloak behind. But Potiphar's wife had the damage done, and she accused him. And where does Joseph find himself? He finds himself in prison. So I want to look at Joseph's prison. So look there at the end of chapter 39 in verse 16. It says, "In She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison." I want you to notice this. "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And so now we see this place of difficulty that Joseph finds himself. He is in the prison. Where was that prison that he was placed? Now, I want you to think about this, because as we go through this thought process, I think many times when we find ourselves in a place of difficulty, we become so blinded by all the things that go on around us, we refuse to allow ourselves to see things from God's perspective, or at least try to look from God's perspective at what is going on in our lives. And so Joseph, he could have focused on all these things around him. He was thrown into prison. His master was upset at him. He was falsely accused. His integrity had been hurt. He was in a place where it was dank and dirty and dark. But what did the Lord do to Joseph? The Lord blessed him. And so I want you to look at chapter 40 and verse 3. And actually, we'll read the verses before this because I want you to understand where Joseph ended up. And it came to pass, verse 1 of chapter 40, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Now notice this, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now, I want to ask you a question. Where did they put the butler and baker? You remember where it was? What house was it? Look down carefully. What house was it, or whose house was it? The captain of the guard. Now, can I ask you a question? And if you're running ahead of me, you're already looking into chapter 39. Who was the captain of the guard? Potiphar. Now, isn't that interesting? The prison where Joseph ended up was still at Potiphar's house. Now, I don't know all of the implications to that. We can speculate. But let me ask you a question. As we begin to look at this from a perspective that isn't quite linear and temporal, but we begin to look at it from a little bit higher view, are circumstances always what they seem? Are they always what they seem? No. You see, we get caught up in the heat of a moment, in the heat of a difficulty, and we look at all there is around us, but we can't, or we fail to rise above. I remember playing football, and one of my favorite things to do was to hit people. And I know that's so difficult for you to imagine, but I love to hit people. That's why I played linebacker. And it was legal. But many times, if you got up too close to the line, if you didn't read things properly, you'd get all up in this tangle, and you know what? You couldn't see what was going on around you. And many times when that would happen, you'd get caught up, you couldn't see, and you would blow your assignment, and guess what the running back does with the football? He scores a touchdown because you missed your assignment. And so we find ourselves in difficulty in life, and sometimes we just think that these circumstances are so horrible, and we forget that God is sovereign, and God knows what's going on. And so even as Joseph was placed in what was seemingly a terrible, terrible position, when we begin to look at the difficulties and the places where God has allowed him to be, we begin to see, wait a second, God is at work in this man's life. Now, folks, if you're a child of God tonight and we face difficulties or we face the unknown, God is at work in your life. Don't give up on a sovereign God. He's at work. Now, we may not be able to see all that he is doing, and certainly where Joseph was, he couldn't see what God was planning. But Potiphar put Joseph in the prison at his house. Now, I'm going to speculate a little bit, but what does this say about Potiphar's understanding of his wife? Do you think that Potiphar might have had, even in his anger, he might have had a little bit of understanding of what kind of woman she was? I mean, Potiphar would have his choice of where he could put Joseph in prison. He could have lopped his head off. But where does he end up? He ends up in the prison of his house. Now, I want you to think of this too. Who could have observed Joseph on a daily basis being where he was? Potiphar, right? And so we find that Joseph's prison wasn't all that it seemed to be. Now, I don't know what kind of difficulties you may be facing tonight or what unknowns you may be facing tonight, but I would encourage you as you look at it not to become overwhelmed with the flood, but that you would look at it from the perspective that things aren't always what they seem. And when we are a child of God and God is in control, God's going to work out the details. He's going to take care of us. We need to take our hands off. And so we see in this difficulty now, we saw Joseph's prison wasn't quite as terrible as what he thought it would be, but now we see his favor. Look at verse 21 of chapter 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, folks, this is a really important thing for us to understand, and this is well worth writing down. Joseph was not concerned with what people thought about him so much as he was what God thought about him. Did you get that? Joseph was not concerned with what people thought about him so much as he was concerned with what God thought about him. And folks, that begins to make a difference in our lives. When we face difficulties, it's not about what people think around us. It's not even many times about what we may see physically. But folks, how we act and how we react and how we handle the circumstances that we are in, it's not so much what people think, it's about what God thinks. Where's our heart focused? You see, Joseph, even in the midst of his temptation, what did he tell Potiphar's wife? I'm not going to do this because that's wrong to do this against Potiphar, right? Is that all he said? No, what was his main concern? I'm not going to do this and sin against my God. You see where his vision was focused? Even in a very deep temptation. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 15 with me. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hey, what does God see when we face the unexpected? What does he see in our heart? What does he see in our reaction? Does he see the evil or does he see the good? See, Joseph's favor came not because he was seeking favor with men, not because he was seeking to be exalted, not because he was seeking an easy way out of his problems, but because he was concerned with what God thought about his life and his actions. And so we see that he earned favor with the prison keeper, but he also earned favor with someone else. Look at chapter 40 and verse 4. Now you remember the butler and the baker have been cast into prison. Joseph is in charge, but look at verse 4 and notice the characters. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph. Now who's the captain of the guard? Potiphar. And so this isn't just the prison keeper here. This is the guy who is over the prison keeper. This is Potiphar, the man that Joseph had been working for. And the captain of the guard, Potiphar, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now, perhaps Potiphar had observed Joseph enough that he knew his innocence. Maybe due to his family and politics, can you imagine Potiphar exonerating a Hebrew slave and taking his opinion over his wife's, what that would do to him politically? Potiphar was in a difficult position. That's not to excuse Potiphar doing wrong if he knew that Joseph was innocent. But perhaps Potiphar had that opportunity to observe him. And here's a lesson in this, folks. The truth always comes out. Maybe you're in a place where you're falsely accused, where people may think the wrong thing about you. Maybe people try to suppress it. But folks, when we unwaveringly hold to the truth and live by it, it will reveal itself. The truth about Joseph's reputation is coming out, isn't it? The truth about what Joseph is and who he is beginning to shine out once again. I always loved Jim Berg's illustration of the tea bag. Have you read that and changed this into his image? Now, I lately have begun to appreciate, and maybe this is Pastor Defoe's influence, but I've lately begun to appreciate a nice hot glass of tea. Isn't it wonderful to have a hot glass of tea, just sit and it warms you up? What happens when you make your glass of tea? I walk over, I pull out a tea bag, and I look at that tea bag, and honestly, folks, if you look at the tea bag, you just see a bunch of leaves inside, right? You don't know, that could be pepper, that could be oregano. You don't know what it is, do you? How do you know what's inside the tea bag? What? You put it in hot water. And what happens when you put the tea bag in hot water? What's inside comes out. You know, many times, folks, we find ourselves in difficulty. And it may not be our doing. Have you ever stopped to think that the Lord just decided to pour a little hot water on our tea bag? And that's not for Him to know. God knows everything, right? He knows what's inside our heart. It's so that we know. It's so that we can look at our lives and say, you know what? What's in this tea bag? If it's not pleasing to me, if it's giving me a bad taste, surely it's giving God a bad taste. There's something that needs to change. And so as Joseph finds himself in this place of difficulty, the hot water's being poured out, the truth is coming out, and we're seeing a man of character. And folks, that character doesn't come from any other than God's grace. Now, we don't see the word grace at all in this narrative of Joseph. But it is so evident that this young man is living by the grace of God. He is walking daily in the grace of God, and God is watching over him and favoring him. And we may try to suppress the truth, or others may try to suppress us about us, but when difficulty comes, the truth is going to come out, and our character is going to show. We see in this another lesson learned. Because what is going on in Joseph's life, we know where Joseph's going to end up. And isn't it great that we get the advantage of seeing into the future, at least in his life? We can look into the future and we know that Joseph is eventually going to end up where? He's going to end up on the throne of Egypt. He's going to be number two in the land. Now I want you to stop and think about this. How do you think it would have gone if a young, unlearned, untempered teenager had gone straight from his father's house to the throne of Egypt? Do you think that would have worked? No way. No way. Especially when he's being cantankerous with his brothers, right? He's kind of getting under their skin. And so what is God doing? God is molding and shaping Jacob as he is going from life circumstance and difficulty to blessing, to life circumstance to difficulty to blessing. And we find in this that Joseph is beginning to learn a lesson. Look at verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And they asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Now, I want you to notice this. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph's learning, isn't he? He's learning how to handle the information that God puts into his life. He sees that that was a gifting of God. He didn't handle his first set of dreams very well, did he? He had everybody, including his mom and dad, in a tizzy over them. And now he walks in, and this butler and baker have had dreams, and he says, you know what? God can give us the answer to this. And Joseph learned that truth was simply that. It's not information to hold over someone's head or to hold on and sell as a secret. Look at what Joseph does. And they said unto him, verse 9, and the chief butler told his dream, and Joseph said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine there were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Wow, nice interpretation, right? Look at what Joseph says. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. And so Joseph is saying, hey, I've got an opportunity here. This man's going to be released back to Pharaoh. I have an opportunity to get out of my difficulty. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong. It's human for us to want to get out of our difficulties, isn't it? That's the best thing. That's the first thing we think of, right? You remember the old commercials? I bet you can repeat them. How do you spell relief? Why does that stick in our mind? Because we don't like to be in pain, do we? And so it's natural for us to want to get out of it, right? It's natural for us to want to alleviate the pain or the discomfort. And so Joseph asks him, he says, hey, you're going to be in front of Pharaoh. If you could say something to him, I'd kind of like to go back home. And while the baker's listening to this, he says, wow, Joseph's a pretty nice guy. He gave this guy a pretty good interpretation. I'm going to share my dream. Look at verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there was all of a manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Now Joseph's in a tough spot. How's he going to handle the dream? Is he going to tell the truth? Is he going to smooth it over? And Joseph answered, verse 18, and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, and yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So Joseph has learned how to handle the truth, and now the butler is in Pharaoh's court. Looks good for Joseph, right? But Joseph is learning about God's grace. Look at the next verse. Yet Did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him? Pin in the balloon, right? Deflated. Listen, folks. When we face the difficulties of life, it's going to have ups and downs. But when God's in control, we don't have to worry. God has a plan. Just as he had a plan for Joseph, just as it was important for Joseph to be where he was, it is important for us to be where we are. Now I want you to look at chapter 41 and verse 1. Now sometimes we forget things. I walked out of the house this morning and I forgot my shoes because I didn't want to stand out in the rain in the morning in direct traffic in my dress shoes. Now, it didn't take me long to notice that I forgot my shoes, right? But this butler has some serious memory issues, and maybe that's why he got in trouble with Pharaoh in the first place. But look at chapter 41 and verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of what? 2 full years. Can you imagine that? Woo, man, the butler's going back to Pharaoh's court. A couple days go by. Well, it was his birthday. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. A couple weeks go by. I wonder if the butler remembered me. A month goes by. Lord, why am I still here? A few months go by. Lord, this isn't pleasant. I don't like this. 2 years go by before the butler ever remembers Joseph. Now, I want you to think about some things here, and we'll be done. How long have you been waiting? How long have you been waiting? Now, if we could go into Joseph's life and some of the history of Egypt, you will find that those 2 years were crucial, not just for Joseph's learning, but for God's preparation for Joseph to step into a role that would literally change his life and save his family and continue on God's redemption plan for mankind. But it took 2 years for it to come to fruition. It took 2 years for Egypt to get to the place where, if you look at the history, Pharaoh needed some kind of administrative hand to come in and help him, not just with the famine work, but help him govern the nation. God was moving all of this stuff around Joseph, and Joseph is sitting in the prison. How long have you been waiting? Think about this. Was it worth the wait for Joseph? Was it worth the wait for his family? Was it worth the wait for you and for me? You better believe it. God was working out his redemption plan, right? Does God always have to move supernaturally or sensationally to accomplish his will? Oh, sometimes we look for that, don't we? Oh, if God, if you would just miraculously work here. God doesn't always do it that way. Doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God just allows the wheels of time and his sovereign plan to move along because he has something for you and for me. Is God's grace and his will worth the wait? Ask yourself this question. How long is too long for God's grace? 5 years? 15 years? 30 years? 300 years? How long did God's grace take to touch the nation of Israel after Joseph moved his family to Egypt? 400 years, didn't it? But it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait for Joseph. I know that this is a simple thing to look at tonight, but many times a simple solution is what we need to hear. The simplicity of God's word, seeing it in action in the life of one of his people. Perhaps you're facing difficulty tonight. And there's so much turmoil in your life that you're just allowing to come in when the grace of God is right there and he's ready to pour it out without measure. We just have to look to him. We just have to receive it. We just have to be patient and let God work. Maybe God's speaking to you about that tonight. Let me encourage you. Take a tip from Joseph. Look at his life and look at how God blessed him as he walked in grace through his difficulties. And God can do the same for you and for me. Lord, we are so grateful for your grace. Lord, there was nothing in here that was deep, nothing in here that was meat for the theology books. But Lord, there is truth in here about a servant who walked in grace. Lord, there are those of us here tonight who are facing unknowns. There are those of us here tonight who are facing difficulties. There are those of us here tonight, Lord, who are struggling to see above all the noise and all of the distractions that are going on around us in the midst of our trial. And Lord, I pray tonight as we looked in your word that your still small voice reached out and said, walk in my grace. Trust me. Give me the reins. Lord, we saw it, and Lord, we see it time and time again in the life of Joseph, how his difficulty, how his trials turned into triumph. And Lord, it was nothing that he did. It was all because he had his eyes set on you. Lord, no doubt in the 2 years of prison where he would have been tempted to feel like you had left him alone, he spent nights on his knees. He spent days looking to you for grace as he lived in his difficulty. And Lord, you never forgot that he was there. Well, the butler forgot him, but Lord, you didn't forget him. And in your timing, Lord, you brought him out and blessed him tremendously. And so, Lord, I pray for our church family tonight. Maybe in the midst of a difficulty, maybe one is getting ready to come. But Lord, I pray that we would be people who walk in your grace, that we would trust you. And Lord, as we look to you, as we spend sometimes those difficult nights where the tears fall on our pillows and the prayers come unceasingly, that we would remember that you haven't forgotten us, although all the world around us may seem like it, and that, Lord, you will bring us out in your time and with your blessing. Thank you for your word tonight. May it be a help and a blessing to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.